Amen. Appreciate the message that we've had come before us. We ask for continued interest in your prayers. Call your attention to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Studying this book this week and kind of sometimes instead of verse by verse, you read some scriptures and you kind of back up and look at the forest instead of just all the trees. And I was trying to do that some with the book of Ephesians this morning or this week. I saw something there with regard to what the scriptures teach us in having and feeling more of the presence and the power of the Lord in our life. Can we use a little bit more of that? We need that. You know, we're not robots. And the church is nothing without the Lord. We wouldn't be a part of it because the church or the ecclesia, the called out. So without him calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we wouldn't have, as Brother Paul has already mentioned to us, we wouldn't have any interest in God. We wouldn't have any interest in the word of God. We just wouldn't be, as far as the church is concerned. In John 15, Jesus talked about how that without me, you can do nothing. All right? So the church, and I mean, now, when I say the church would be nothing, like I've already indicated, from first to last, we would be nothing. He calls us out. Well, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He calls us out here in time. He calls us out of darkness in his marvelous light that we should show forth the praises of him that has called us. All right? And the intent of that is that we might not only show forth his praises, but live to his honor and glory each day. We need his presence and his power. We need to feel that, and we realize what he teaches us that we're to love him. Now, he puts his love in us. We're born of his spirit. You know, we love him. John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. He's given us that love. And we need to reflect that love. We need to nurture that love. We can't improve on it, but we can make it a greater part of our life. Because the more we're entangled with the things of the world, like that sheep Brother Paul was talking about, the less recognizable we are as a faithful servant of the Lord. But the more we stay close to him, the more we keep our face in the word of God, and the more we think about his mercy and his goodness, the more we remember the love that he has for us, the more loving we will be toward others. Well, isn't that the major characteristic of the church? To show forth his praises and to love God and love one another? Isn't that all the commandments? Isn't that what he said? To love God, love one another. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we can get that right, then we'll be doing something. We'll be doing something in this life. So loving him more. And as far as the church is concerned, that needs to happen from those in the pulpit and those in the pew. We need both, don't we? And when we're doing that, and it's not just Sunday morning, is it? It's every day. And when we do that every day, and when we're walking with the Lord every day, and we're feeling His presence with us, and we're mindful of His goodness and mercy upon us, and feeling that love in our hearts, then when we do come to church on Sunday morning, we'll bring more of Him with us. And we'll have a better heart to praise God. We'll have a better heart to sing those songs. And I so much appreciate the song service that we had this morning. The selection of the hymns and the way they were sung. What a blessing it is to meet together in the house of God with a few of God's people to sing praises unto His name and to feel like that praise has been given. What a blessing. So as we think about then, so what does that have to do with Ephesians, all right? Chapter 1. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, and I'm not going to read a whole lot, but I want to talk about it. In chapter 1, we see the glory of what God has done for us. Chosen in Him, predestinated, redeemed, forgiven. All of those things that God has done for us. Doesn't it make your heart feel full when you think about all those things that God has done for us? I can't read chapter 1 of Ephesians without wanting to praise Him some. I mean, that's where it brings us to think about all that He's done for us. Then you come to chapter 2, and I know I'm leaving out a whole lot, and it's probably real simplistic here, but you come to chapter 2, and whereas chapter 1 has given us the glory of what God has done for us, chapter 2 begins to tell us about the glory of what He's done in us. And you have He quickened. He gave us His Spirit. He's quickened us. What a blessing. And I know that regeneration happens individually, but it's for all of God's people to be together. And together is a very important word in chapter 2 of Ephesians. I touched on that some a few weeks ago. I'm sure you remember everything about that. But to bring us together. Because that's what God purposed from the foundation of the world. He would send His Son to redeem us from our sin, to bring us back into the fold. So that we could worship Him while we live here in this life. Do you remember what Brother Paul read? When he found that sheep and he brought him back, he said he called his friends. See, he could have just rejoiced together right by himself. But that's not what God intends. God wants His people to be together. God has done what's necessary to save His people from their sins, to bring us together. He's given us the church. He's given us a place that we can worship together. So Jesus, when he found the sheep, He called His friends. He said, "Rejoice with me." And what happened on the next one? When the woman found what she was looking for, she called her friends and said, "Rejoice with me." You get it? That's the point. For us to be together. And that's one of the most frustrating things to me throughout this experience that we've had to endure here lately is how that these restrictions have hindered us from being together. Because that's at the heart of what God has intended for us in His church, for us to honor Him and be together, encouraging one another, helping one another together. Chapter 2 talks about what God has done in us. We wouldn't have any interest, any desire, and really not even any ability to do those things without God having given us His grace, His Spirit, planted His love within us, and given us faith, and given us those spiritual faculties of hearing and seeing and tasting of the things of God. What He's done for us. No matter what you do, no matter how you respond to those things in chapter 1, you're not going to change a thing about it. Now, we ought to. We ought to respond to God in a good way. But whatever you do, in a good or a bad way, you're not going to change what God has done for us. Whatever you do, once he's visited you and blessed you with his Spirit, when he's done that in you, whatever you do is not going to change no matter what you do. You know, there's so many people that live under a system of teaching that thinks that if somebody commits suicide, then they are lost forever. There's no way that person could ever be saved. What a terrible burden. There is nothing we can do to change what God has done for us. If we're called of his Spirit, if we bless and feel his love, if we are in the family, then nothing you do will ever change that. I like that. Praise God. That is something to praise. That is why we praise God, isn't it? Because of his love, his power, his glory. All right? And there's so much more in chapter 2. But when we come to chapter 3, Paul begins to speak about how that he's called to preach the glorious gospel. Now, remember I said from first to last, the church is dependent upon the Lord. We're not robots, but he's given us some things to do to respond to his love. But whatever we do, we're not going to change what he's done in those eternal things. Whatever we do, we're not going to change the fact that we're a part of his family. Right? But in that chapter 2, by the way, who is it that was called? Is it those good folks that's never done anything wrong? Is that who's called? Is that who he's quickened? Is that why we're quickened? Because we're so good and we come to God and we ask for forgiveness and we ask for, is that why he quickens us? Now, I understand that the word quicken in the scripture has the meaning of regeneration, but there's also places where David asked to be quickened, and we have to understand that when David is speaking of those things, there's a person that's already been quickened by the Spirit, but he needs to be more enlivened by the presence and the power of God working in his life. But when Ephesians 2 says, and you hath he quickened, look at who was quickened. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Like Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners. You know, my persuasion of why he claimed to be the chief of sinners is because there was nobody else alive in his day that was trying to do more to destroy the church than Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he was, of course, we understand the Pharisees and all that, what they tried to do, but I mean, Saul of Tarsus was leading the charge. And God turned him around. God changed him from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. God changed him. You see why we need God? We need God from beginning to end. We need him because of what he's done for us eternally. We need him in the calling from nature's darkness into his glorious light. It's his work to do. He initiates that. We didn't have any interest in the things of God until God gives us his Spirit. And then as far as the gospel is concerned, God has to call men to preach it. Without the Lord, we could be a group. We could be a social club. We could be a whatever. But if we didn't have the presence of the Lord, that's all it would be. We need the presence and the power of God. How does the scripture speak about, is there any influence that we can have upon that? Well, we don't initiate it. But there's things that he tells us to do to nurture that love that he has given to us. So we go then from chapter 2 to 3 where Paul speaks about how he was called to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will read a little bit of this. I'll begin in verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. All right? And God has to be in this as far as the calling of men to preach. All right? Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That faith which comes from him, that is given to us, that faith that is of him. Some of these new Bibles are written and they change that to say faith in him, as if all you got to do is put your faith in him and you can become one of his. No, it's the faith that comes from him. All right? So, with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause, Paul begins a prayer here. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family named in Christ, chosen in him from the foundation of the world. We hear his life-giving voice when he calls us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. We honor him who loved us and gave himself for us. And when we're baptized in his name. We take his name upon us. We want to live the kind of life that would be pleasing to him. We want to show the world whose child we are, who we belong to, and whose name we want to honor. That's the church. That's the church. Worship him according to his word. We say in our articles of faith that this, the Bible, King James translation of the Bible, is our only rule of faith and practice. God has revealed to us his will. He has revealed himself to us in regeneration. And these two go together. One who's been quickened by the Spirit, one who loves the revealed will of God. The world could care less. The world wants to change this word to suit themselves so they can print another version of it that they like. We worship on his terms. How do we have more presence, more of his presence and power in our life? Not only individually, but as a church body. How does that happen? How does that happen? Paul prays for this now. This is really the intent of this prayer. All right? So he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The old man cares nothing for the things of God. We need to be strengthened in the inner man. Now, there's nothing faulty about regeneration. There's nothing lacking in being quickened by the Spirit. But he tells us that we need, as newborn babes, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Peter said that, 1 Peter chapter 2. We need a desire, just like a newborn babe desires that milk to grow. Then the Lord is pleased. The Lord rejoices when we're desiring those things and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. As we're growing in our understanding of what he's done for us, growing in our understanding of serving him is where to find the most joy in this life. Growing. Growing. Are we growing? Without this word, you're not. Just think about how much time you spent reading this word over the last month. And think about, okay, if I'm not growing without it, now, there could be a circumstance. Somebody may be totally wrapped up in a pursuit that keeps them from sitting down and reading a book or something like that. They may have their mind on him, but attention, excuse me, attention to the word, whether you're calling it to memory, whether you're hearing it, whether you're reading it, attention to the word is absolutely necessary to feed our souls, for us to be strong and growing in grace. We need it. There is no substitute. We need it. Maybe you're getting it for the preached word. If so, that's great. If it's the truth, there's a lot of what we hear out there, like Brother Paul made mention to. There's things that we hear that's not according to, exactly according to, thus saith the Lord. But we can read this word, and whether we understand it or not, we know it's exactly right. Exactly right. All right? So, Paul says, he prays that the Lord would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Spirit is what ministers to our spirit and our soul to strengthen us. Anybody here need some strength to face what we're facing in this world today? The ungodliness that we're constantly bombarded with, the discouragements that people want to put in our way, we need to be strengthened. And God's given us what we need. So we just need to avail ourselves to it. And he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't do it for you. He's not going to drag you to your chair. He's not going to open the Bible. He's not going to put it in front of your face. He's not going to do that. But we have it. It's available. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us his love. He's given us what we need, and we can't do anything without him that's pleasing to him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So as we do these things by faith that he's given us, when we use the faith that he's given us, we can be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit. Through his word. All right? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That he has given, his Spirit, he has given to us by his grace. This word he has given to us by his providence. Okay? What we do with it defines how much obedience to the faith we'll express. And what does that constitute? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, we're expressing our love for him, and that's obedience to the faith. And when we're doing that, we're stirring up his Spirit within us. We're walking in agreement with that Spirit that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the more we walk in agreement, the more we live in agreement, the more we choose, make our choices in agreement with the Spirit, the more rejoicing we have within us, which is of God, and it's to his glory. So we can encourage this being strengthened by the inner man. We're not waiting for God to just open our head and pour it in. He's told us what to do. So that we can encourage this being strengthened with all might by his spirit in the inner man. So when that happens, we can walk more in the spirit. We're strengthened against those temptations of this lie. All right? So by faith, by obeying the leadership of the Spirit and walking in agreement with the Spirit, we gain assurance that we're part of the family, that we're part of his family, that we're a child of God. Do you ever have doubts and fears? But if you feel the love of God, if you feel his presence in your life, if you rejoice in the things of God, those are all evidences that you are one of his children. The devil would like nothing more than to convince you you're not. You know, that's one of his favorite tools, isn't it? Discouragement. But walking in agreement with the Spirit, obeying what the Word says and patterning our life according to the Scriptures, that causes us to be strengthened. That gives us more assurance. That gives us more boldness to stand and be faithful when we feel the Lord is with us. How many times in the Scripture do we find that when Moses was leading the children of Israel, Moses said, "Lord, if your presence go not with us, then we don't want to go up." And Joshua was concerned about the same thing. "Lord, we want you with us." Now, when the Lord called Joshua to lead Israel, he told him, "I will be with you. And no man shall be able to stand before thee." Wow. How about us? Do we feel his presence with us? Do we feel like the Lord's, if we feel the Lord is with us, then if God be for us, who can be against us? So we need that presence. We need that feeling of his presence with us. Now, the more we walk in that faith, the more we walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit, doesn't make us more of an elect, right? You can't be that. God's the one that called us. He's the one that chose us. He's the one, is Christ's voice that we hear when he gives us that life-giving voice and quickens us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. So we can't be more of the elect, but we can feel more of his presence and his power. And that's what we need individually. That's what we need as the church, to feel more of his presence and his power. In walking in the Spirit and seeking his face and his loving counsel and following in his way. Now, if you doubt what I just said about that encouraging us to have more of his presence and power among us, go to John 14. I might could quote it, but I want to get it right. John 14. Verse 23, if Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me," do you love God? I think I'm looking upon the face of a people this morning who loves God. Who loves God. "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Right? Let's see, back in verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." All right? "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." Now, we're not talking about bringing something into being. We're talking about a greater manifestation. He's loved us before the foundation of the world. He's always going to love us. He may not love what we do sometimes, but he loves us. So this is a practical, this is a manifestation of love. This is a coming to a feeling, a greater feeling of his love. All right? If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And listen, and we will come unto him. So it stands to reason, if we're not doing those things, there's a sense in which he's not going to come. We're not going to feel it. But he says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that what we want as the church? To feel his presence. To feel his power. More. More. The church needs that. That's what enlivens us. That's what encourages us. When we feel his love and feel his presence and feel his power with us. He told us. That's where it's at. So if we're not feeling that, maybe we need to lay that to heart. Maybe we need to think about that. Maybe we need to major on that for a while. Because he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You can't do anything to become a child of God, but you could do a lot to be more of a dear child of God and to feel his presence and power in your life. And the more that you're doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the more of it collectively we'll feel when we come together on Sunday. Isn't that a worthy endeavor? Isn't that what we need as the church of the Lord Jesus? He deserves great praise. He deserves our every affection. He deserves it. Without what he did for us, we would be eternally doomed. Because that's what happened with all of mankind. That's why redemption was necessary. Because we fell in sin in Adam. Because of what happened with Adam, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know that there's people that object to that. What about the little babies? They're not sinners? Yes, they are. If we understand Scripture, they may not yet be sinners by practice, but they're sinners by nature that they inherited from Adam. Couldn't be any other way if you understand what Scripture teaches. This is a faithful saying, Paul told Timothy, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, nobody else could do it, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's why we praise Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we'll feel more of his presence. So these choices that we make in life, they either draw us closer to the Lord and warms our heart, or maybe if they're bad choices, then we're kind of at arm's length, and it cools our heart. We want to be close. We want to feel his presence. We want to feel his power. And our choices have a lot to do with that. It's not going to make you a child of God, but it's going to make you a happier child of God if we follow him in spirit and in truth. So Paul says, and that's what this prayer is all about. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know, here's one of those things that's contrary to nature. We're rooted and grounded in Him. Our roots go up. Things of this world, roots go down. Bless your hearts. We're rooted and grounded in Him. And then he says in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite a love. What is the breadth of His love? How broad is the love of God? It's broad enough to encompass all of His people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. He has a people out of, not all of them, I'm not talking about a universal thing here, I'm talking about His people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. What is the breadth and length? How long is the love of God? Isn't it from everlasting to everlasting? He loved us before the foundation of the world. He'll love us in all eternity. The depth. Is there anyone He's ever chosen that's too much of a sinner for Him to love? He reached down. David talked about how He lifted us up out of a horrible pit. That pit of sin. That pit can be horrible in far as the choices that somebody's made in this life. That's not too hard for the Lord. He can lift us out of that. And if they're His chosen ones, He does lift them out of that. All right. And height. Ah, there's nothing greater, nothing higher to think of than the love God has for His people. And so he says, and to know, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with what? Whatever the Spirit knows you need, He can provide it. He can fill us with it. But a lot of that also is filled with the knowledge of what He's done for us, the knowledge of His love for us, the greatness of His love, the exceeding greatness of His power. All the reasons why we praise and adore our God. And His Son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to work in us whatever we need. Oh, may God help us to seek His power, the working of His Spirit, that we might walk closer to Him. And he says in verse 21, I got to close out here. Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church. Now, we can glorify Him all day long, every day of the week. And we should, and we're still the church wherever we are, because we're the called out. Doesn't have to be a building where people gather together to be a church. But we certainly, when we gather together in His name, we certainly ought to be giving glory and praise to His matchless name out of thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts for what mercy and grace has been bestowed upon us. So he says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In closing, this wonderful message was given to the church at Ephesus. This wonderful teaching that Ephesus had, not only from the pastors, the capable pastors that that church had over the years, but this letter that was written to the Ephesians. Can you imagine how that must have felt to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to have an apostle write a letter for your particular church. Now, obviously, it's for all of God's people. But he had them on his heart, and he wrote them this letter and taught them about the need. And then in this prayer, he speaks about the need for us to be strengthened with all might in the inner man. And he talks about how we go about doing that. But later in the scriptures, we hear Ephesus mentioned again. Right? Revelation chapter 2. And in verse 5, he says, I have somewhat against thee. Well, it might have been up ahead of that, but he said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Well, let me ask you something. If they had left their first, they had lost it. They're still children of God, but they left it. Practically speaking, something else had gotten priority in their life with regard to them loving him first and foremost. Do you think that affected their feeling of his presence and power among them? And what was the consequence when he told them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love? He says, remember from whence thou art fallen, call it to mind, and repent, and do thy first works. In other words, get back to doing the things you were doing when you were feeling his presence and his power in your life. Get back to that. Remember, repent, and do thy first works, or else. Now, when my daddy used to say, or else, that got my feet to moving. Because he wasn't joking. Neither does God. There's a consequence. If they had left their first love, they were not feeling the presence and the power of his Spirit as much in their life as they had in the past when they were doing the first works, which is loving God, loving one another. They weren't doing that. They weren't feeling his presence and power as much. And he says, if you don't, or else, I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. And if the candlestick's not there, you're not going to be able to see very much in the glory of God. You won't have that feeling of his presence, that light coming forth from him, blessing his word to be preached. You won't have it. You won't be feeling the presence and the power. God, repent and do thy first works. That's the remedy for us to feel the presence and power of the Lord every day. And when we come together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us to honor him daily. May God bless us to seek his face and his loving counsel. May God bless us to rejoice in his presence and love and mercy for us, and honor him with our choices so that that light can go forth from us, so that when we gather together, there'll be a greater feeling of his presence and power among us. May God help us to be faithful in that regard. May God bless you is our prayer.